You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Rob Ferret. Thanks for joining us. Now, if you've been to one of Wisconsin's 49 state parks this year, you're in good company. The DNR reports 2021 has already seen nearly a 20% increase in visits over the last year. And now there's a new fresh face leading the parks into the future. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you love about Wisconsin state parks or the boat launches, state forests or biking trails? What are some of your favorite parks to visit? And how long have you been going to the state parks? Maybe you're new to the parks or maybe you've been going for years. And of course, if you have any questions for the new parks director, call in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Steve Schmelzer is director of the Bureau of Parks and Recreation Management for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and the DNR announced earlier this month that he took the helm in July. Steve, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on and giving me the opportunity to talk to folks on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about your history with the state parks. How did you get started?
You know, I went to school at UW-Madison and knew that I wanted to, you know, when I was getting close to graduating, you know, working in state parks. And then I applied at some properties around the state, Peninsula and Gov Dodge and Devil's Lake, and landed at Devil's Lake in 1992 and stayed there through a progression of jobs up to a permanent park ranger to a assistant superintendent and superintendent, and spent 27 years there. So yeah, it was a really great opportunity. And then I promoted to a Southwest District Park Supervisor in 2020. And then the director position just a little less than a month ago. So it's been a great opportunity, and I've really enjoyed working at the state properties and working in state parks for the past almost 29 years.
Now, state parks, they evolve over time and they change. And you said that you have worked with Devil's Lake State Park. Can you talk about how Devil's Lake has changed over the, you know, 20 to 30 years that you've been able to work there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Devil's Lake, you know, some of the significant changes that we've seen is, you know, as the popularity of state parks in particular and all state properties has grown, Devil's Lake has been no stranger to that. You know, when I started the Devil's Lake until most recently, visitation probably has just about doubled, you know, and, you know, the times when we had, you know, some busy weekends throughout the summer have kind of turned in now to, you know, just about every weekend. You know, they're at capacity and visitors are still streaming in. So it's, you know, we've seen a lot of that. I've also noticed our visitors, you know, we've had a much more diversity in our visitors. You know, if you were to go there on a busy holiday weekend now, you might hear four or five or six different languages being spoken if you walk through the picnic area or walk out on a trail. So that's significant too. I think just the new visitors that are coming to the properties and coming to visit the properties for a lot of different reasons, really has been a change over the, you know, the time that I've been at Devil's Lake and been with the program and the system. So it's a great change, you know. And you know, some of the other things that have been significant, obviously, as we, you know, technology has been a big factor. You know, where people are being much more engaged in technology, and so, you know, they, you know, current conditions and wanting to have the most up-to-date information and being able to reserve a campsite on their phone and do all those kind of things. So it's been, you know, a lot of changes that way, and we continue to change.
We are talking to Steve Schmelzer right now, the new director of the Bureau of Parks and Recreation Management for the Wisconsin DNR. And Steve, you just mentioned camping, which, you know, is very, very popular in Wisconsin. And we had Chris Collin from Madison. They couldn't stay on the line, but they wanted to express some frustration that it feels as though it's impossible to book campsites because they fill up so early. Is that something that, one, is on your radar and something that you are all trying to address?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I look at our the number of camping nights we've, you know, increased even in the past 2 years, You know, we have a 30% increase in the past 2 years of number of campsites that have been occupied. That's pretty significant. And, you know, I have heard this, you know, I hear it from, you know, my own friends and family, like, oh, hey, now that you, you know, now you got that job, can you help us out? And you know, we have over 5,000 campsites in the system. And, you know, for most weekends this summer, it's in high 90% occupancy. So people are just getting out and enjoying those campsites. So I know it's difficult to get those campsites. You know, one of the things that I, you know, recommend to folks is that, hey, if you think, you know, I only camp at Devil's Lake, look at other options, you know, throughout the state. You know, there's a lot of other different options besides our most popular properties. But also, you know, it might mean that, you know, you might have to come on a Thursday or a Wednesday or a Tuesday or something like that where there are vacancies there. And ultimately, you know, we need to look at the system as a whole and see, okay, what can we do to match the need of the campers and our visitors? You know, what does that mean as far as campsites and those kind of things? So, yeah, we're definitely looking at possibilities for trying to accommodate some of those folks that they just want to come and camp.
I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Alicia in Madison. Hi, Alicia.
Hello. Just looking for a better understanding of the distinction between a state park and a state forest, please.
Steve, what's the difference?
Well, it's basically on the property designation. You know, in our program, we manage 15 state forests, and that includes both the northern and the southern forests. And so, you know, when you go into those properties, it'll, you know, a lot of those properties you go into and it looks exactly the same. It just comes on how the property was designated. So, you know, if you look at a lot of the attributes and the recreational opportunities, some of them are exactly the same. It just depends upon, you know, where they're located. You know, all the way to the north, you've got the Northern Highland American Legion State Forest, you know, it's a large tract of land and a large number of campsites and campgrounds. And, you know, we've got the Kettle Moraine Northern and Southern units down in the kind of the southeast part of the state. So you've got some all the way in between there. So it's a pretty big diversity, but they're very similar.
Now, as we talked about, there has been a pretty significant increase in visitations to these parks, in part because of the pandemic. How are you hoping the DNR and your department, you know, kind of rides that momentum heading into the post-pandemic years?
Yeah, I think what we need to do is we need to, you know, as far as these, you know, some of them are brand new visitors that may not have visited state properties in the past. So engaging with those visitors and finding out exactly, you know, what are some of the attributes and what are some of the recreational opportunities that they're looking for, and then cater to those folks while also still recognizing that, you know, our traditional users and recognizing one of the things that they, you know, they come to state properties for. And if you talk to, you know, 10 different visitors, you're likely to get, you know, 10 different reasons why they come to state properties, whether it's for, you know, for exercise or they're, you know, coming to watch birds, or they're going for a hike, or they're fishing, you know, rock climbing, just any number of recreational activities. And you know, outdoor recreation has really exploded in the last few years with the pandemic. And, you know, if anybody can attest to, if they, you know, they go to try buy a bike or to buy a camper or anything like that, they're in short supply. And so, you know, I would anticipate that, you know, we're going to continue to see, you know, a large number of outdoor recreational enthusiasts that are going to come to our properties. And I would expect that, you know, we have to take, you know, we have limited properties, limited resources. And so we have to evaluate continually, like, okay, what's the best thing that we can do for the vast majority of the users, understanding that, you know, we can't meet the need of everybody for every sort of recreational pursuit that they have.
We're talking to Steve Schmelzer right now, the new Wisconsin State Parks Director, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see change about the parks? You know, is there something that you think would be a benefit, or do you think maybe the park should get rid of some stuff? What is your experience maybe camping or biking around these parks? We want to hear from you. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas at WPR.org, and we'll continue this conversation and take your calls in just a moment right here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We are continuing our conversation with Steve Schmelzer right now, the new director of State Parks in Wisconsin, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the Wisconsin park system? What would you like to see change? And, you know, what are some of your favorite places to visit? Call in now, 800-642-1234. Now, we had a listener call in who couldn't stay on the line. Susan and Madison wanted to know, if someone only has a landline phone, how do they make a campsite reservation?
Yeah, so what they can do is they can call our reservation provider, Camas, and they can make a reservation over the phone that way. So, there's the opportunity to do that. Also, if it's, in person, they can also do a same-day reservation if you come to a property. But we always recommend advanced reservations. And like I said, they can call the Camas number, and they can make a reservation that way. So that's a great question.
Now, I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Dave in Toma. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi. I'm curious if we're doing anything to manage our forest now. In the spring, we started out awfully dry, and I was kind of worried where I live. Are we doing anything to manage our forest so if we do have an extended drought, we don't end up with the same results they had out west?
Thank you, Dave, for that call. Steve, what do you say?
Yeah, we work closely with the Division of Forestry in the Department of Natural Resources. And I know I specifically have worked with forestry staff on doing some timber stand improvements at different state properties. And so basically what that involved is removing some of the dead and diseased trees from the property and focusing on, more of sustainable forest production. And so, yeah, we work closely with our forestry partners and try to, get some of those dead standing and some of those other trees out of there, as well as manage invasive species, in those forests too. So there's quite a bit of work being done on our state forests and our state parks to better manage those forests.
Thank you for that call, Dave. Now I'm going to stick with our callers. We have Zoe in Madison. Hi, Zoe.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up?
Well, my question has to do with security in the campgrounds. I'm a senior, and I camp alone, and I have done for many years. And one of the things that made me feel really comfortable camping alone was for a long time we would have rangers that would come through regularly checking to make sure the campground was secure, and it made me feel that I was pretty safe. But it's been quite a number of years now since I've seen a ranger in the campgrounds at all. And it makes me feel that it's not as secure. There's not much security or much regulation, that the rangers don't really know what's going on in the campgrounds. And I just wondered if there's any thoughts about bringing in more security or having those rangers more active and really keeping the campgrounds safer than they feel right now.
Zoe, thank you so much for that call. So, Steve, any issues with staffing right now at either campgrounds or throughout the parks?
Yeah, we have, our law enforcement and security is handled by a combination of folks. So we have conservation wardens that do the primary law enforcement in our state properties. That changed probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And so they have, they make a concerted effort to come through. We have at our busier properties, they have specific, shifts that they work. And whereas some of the other smaller properties, they come through, as needed or, when we think it's going to be busy. And then we also have our rangers that are still on staff, obviously. And while they don't have law enforcement credentials anymore, they still can, they can come through and monitor things and check on folks. One of the things that we also instituted in the last couple of years, there's also a statewide hotline where folks can call in if they see something that's going on that is a little suspicious or something like that. They can call that statewide hotline, and the local law enforcement conservation warden could be dispatched there. And in a case that they might not be in the area, then we work with our partners with the local police departments and also sheriff's departments, and they also help us out too. So it's a team effort, and we work together to provide that, you know, level of security and safety that our visitors have come to expect.
Now, Steve, you know, we had Jeff and Superior call in, couldn't stay on the line, but was curious about whether or not there are any plans in the works to help rehabilitate, you know, Pattison State Park, because it experienced some really severe storm damage about 2 or 3 years ago. Any updates on that park?
Yeah, I know that we've had a number of large storm events that, you know, hit a number of our northern properties in the last few years. And I know that some of those were significant FEMA events that we work with our partners in the federal government and help us with, you know, repairing and replacing, you know, structures or just cleaning up some, you know, downed trees and those kind of things. And I know at Pattison, they had some of that damage done. And I think it's an ongoing process where, you know, we have some of the stuff can be done more immediately, and some of the stuff takes a little bit longer to do. So, yeah, I know we continue to work on that across the state. You know, whenever we have, you know, storm damage that comes through, it might take us a little bit to kind of get things back to normal. And, you know, specifically as a you know, trees and those kind of things, it may take, you know, a number of years. You may lose a lot of large trees that take a long time to grow back to. So it's definitely a work in progress.
Thank you for that call, Jeff, and that question. We're talking to Steve Schmelzer right now, the new director of the Bureau of Parks and Recreation Management for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Now, Steve, you just took the helm about a month ago. What are some of your goals for the parks and park visitors during your tenure?
Yeah, so I have a number of things that we want to work on. We, you know, first and foremost, you know, our staff really do an outstanding job. They really, you know, put forth the extra effort and provide, you know, some great opportunities for our visitors and our customers when they come into the properties. And so, you know, when I took this job, I one of the things that I tell folks all the time is I don't have all the answers, but I have some ideas, and you know, I want to listen to the ideas of what the staff are saying and what our customers are saying. Talk to, you know, and we do that by surveying folks when they come into the properties, as well as, you know, providing opportunities specifically at the properties and also via online that they can provide comments to. So as far as some of the things that, you know, I think I would like to see, again, embracing some of the technology and, you know, I know a lot of times when folks come to state properties, they may not necessarily be thinking about technology, but, you know, with smartphones and mapping and a lot of different things that, you know, folks can take advantage of. There's a lot of things that, you know, if we look across the system in other states and other, you know, some county systems, they have provide some opportunities. So taking a look at some of those technological advances and building upon those, whether that's, you know, GIS mapping of our trails to enhance reservations for folks when they want to come and camp, or, you know, buying admission stickers online or with electronic kiosk, just providing folks with the opportunity to provide better customer service to them. While also, you know, we also have to take a look at, you know, protecting the resource. You know, as we continually evaluate, you know, different ways of doing that, whether that's, you know, periodically, you know, closing some campsites, you know, to allow them to readjust. But we also, you know, I talked earlier about, you know, making sure we have enough campsites for folks too. So kind of, you know, getting in that good spot of evaluating that, but also providing a good opportunity for folks when they come out to the properties. I talked a little bit about also engaging with, you know, with our customers, our diverse customers, you know, talking with them and seeing some of the things that they would like to see at our properties. You know, they may have different recreational interests and amenities that they're looking for. So talking with those folks and engaging with these different groups and finding out, okay, what are some of the things that they're interested in and they want to see at our state properties, and then matching the need up with some of those folks. And as you know, as our society has become more urbanized, you know, we may have a lot of folks that, you know, frankly may not have experience with camping or fishing or hunting or those kind of things. And so providing opportunities at the our properties where maybe they can learn some of those things, whether it's, you know, pitching a tent or building a campfire, or even, you know, going on a hike. So those are the kind of things that, you know, we have to look for those opportunities to engage with the customers and our visitors, and so that they can, you know, when they come to the properties, I kind of know what they're doing, and you know, we know what they're there for then.
We're getting a lot of questions about camping in particular, clearly very popular in Wisconsin. John in Green Bay wanted to know if you knew anything about why there aren't any electrical camper sites at the Northern Highlands American Legion State Forest.
Yeah, well, you know, electrical campsites come up quite a bit. You know, I know that you know, our electrical campsites occupancy is much higher than our regular campsites. And, you know, even, you know, folks that are, you know, more traditionally, you know, tent campers, you know, even them, typically they might have a phone or they have a device that they want to, you know, be available in case, you know, somebody calls them or they want to listen to some music or, you know, to charge that up. So I know electrical campsites, we have a high demand for those, and we continually try to provide additional opportunities to electrify campsites across the state. So, you know, we look towards a plan for electrifying more campsites, and that potentially could mean up at the Northern Highland American Legion State Forest, as well as across the state. So we're continually kind of evaluating those and where we can provide that additional amenity to our campers.
So we only have about 30 seconds left, Steve, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have a favorite park in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, having spent 27 years at Devil's Lake, I would say that's probably one of my favorites. But, you know, one of the great things about this job is I get to, you know, go around to all the properties, and there's still a few state parks that I have not been to, and a few that, you know, I have been to a number of years. And so that's one of the great things I can do is get out and interact with staff and visitors at the state properties across the state. So I don't know if I could specifically name one property, but I guess I like all the properties.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you, and have a good night. I appreciate you having me on.
Steve Schmelzer is director of the Bureau of Parks and Recreation Management for Wisconsin's DNR. He's been in the job for about a month, and we talked to him about the parks today. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Thank you so much for being with us today.